Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Belichick, I recognize the fact this is a Hall of Fame coach, and he'll go down to history as maybe the greatest football coach in the history of this game, or going to be close to it. He was at that level that week, and I was not. For whatever reason, you know, I never had my team prepared the way it should have been prepared, and that falls right down on me. I recognize that this week, this is about Bill Belichick versus Rex Ryan. There's no question. It's personal. It's about him against myself.
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Well, where do you begin after those, how colloquially put by Rex Ryan? I mean, is there a bigger boob on the planet than Rex Ryan? But we'll get into all of that. Hey, welcome, everybody. You're going to excuse my little head cold. I'm still fighting it the last few days. So if I get the Barry White thing going and the sniffles and I start coughing and choking, you just have to deal with it. That's just the way it is. But anyway, I have my glass of water here, as I'm so accustomed to, and the computers are working so far so good. And what a great show we have. Welcome to another edition of the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. And I am so excited today. I'll be with you until 6 o'clock this evening. I want to tell you right off the bat that coming up in just a few minutes here, Larry Hardesty is a sideline reporter for the Jets on the Jets Radio, ESPN New York on 10:50 a.m. Most of you know, if you follow the Jets, and you know he's a been the sideline reporter now. He works with Michael Kay. We have an interesting story coming up. Some interesting, you might have seen it on ESPN at some point over the last day or two. And it had to do with Jets safety, Bart Scott and Michael Kay, an exchange they had after on the air about kind of strategy talk. This was after the Patriots whipped him a few weeks ago. And why, rather than me rambling on here and ripping the Jets and Rex Ryan, let's just I'll get you the sound, because Larry's going to join us in just a few minutes here on the Pete Shepherd Show. So here's what happened a few weeks ago on Michael Kay's show.
A very good job of that.
Now, Bart Scott was on with us right after that game, Rex, and we had him on the air. It was at a remote location, and then after, you know, we went to a commercial, he said to me off the air, he said, "We know exactly what we did wrong." He said, "And if we ever play them again, I'm telling you that we're going to win." He said, "Because what we should have been done was funneling them in toward the middle of the field, and we weren't doing that." Now, that might be too complex for me, but in layman's terms, is that something that you guys have to do? Do you guys know what you did wrong that game?
Well, yeah, we know what we did wrong, and we also, you got to give them credit. They did a great job. They executed their plan well. You know, and if you score 3 points against New England, that you're never going to beat them. So we're going to have to score a heck of a lot more than we did. We're going to have to find a way to score at their place, which we haven't done the 2 years I've been here. And then, you know, it would be nice to be able to control the clock and control the tempo of the game. And also to dictate the game. I think in all those areas we failed to do that, and I believe that I was, you know, a major culprit and the reason why that never occurred. So I'm picking up my game, and again, you know, I know he's the best coach, you know, coach in the league and all that kind of stuff, but I just plan on being the best coach on Sunday.
See? Well. So that's it. That's interesting. I mean, it's not, you know, groundbreaking or shattering news, but it's interesting. Something Rex Ryan was clearly uncomfortable. Obviously, he's not going to get into strategy talk, I would think. I would hope he'd be a little smarter than that. But with him, you never know what's going to come out of his fat mouth. So who knows? Let me just say this. Before we delve into and dissect and analyze the Patriots-Jets game, it is unbelievable. You watch the four games over the weekend, and with the exception of, you know, Baltimore and a little bit out of Green Bay, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, folks. The Patriots are simply on a different level. I mean, if anybody thought Indianapolis and that Jet game, if that was supposed to be a good football game, I mean, that was a win-win situation as far as I'm concerned. If you're a Patriot fan, Jets win, so you get those, you get them here, you get the lowest seed here. If they had won, you know, Baltimore would have come here, and the Jets would have been out of the playoffs, so Patriot fans would have been happy about that as well. I mean, I'm happy that the Jets are coming here because, like I said all week, it's just going to give us a chance in the Patriots to beat up on them again. because the Patriots are just simply on a different level. You watched all those teams play this weekend. Were you really impressed by anything you really saw out there? I mean, a couple plays in the Green Bay game. Baltimore certainly against. I told you Kansas City sucks. I mean, where are all those people last week who were trying to tell everybody that Kansas City was this trendy pick because they could run the ball? They suck. They're nowhere near. Not even close. Luck could even be in the damn playoffs. Sorry, Matt Castle. Nice season you had. You know, numbers look good, 27-7, touchdowns interception ratio, but come on. Those teams are not even close. They are not mentally, physically, nowhere near what the Patriots are capable of. They are just on a different level. New England is right now. They just are. And if the Jets, and they can laud themselves, and Rex Ryan can say all the nice things you want about, you know, making it personal. It's just so, it's childish. It's so childish what he said. Forget about what he said about Belichick. The stuff about his love affair, you know, I finally beat Peyton Manning and blah, you know, it was all about him. And, you know, I don't ever mention many team members, but it was all I. Like an old Buckley bit we used to do on EEI. It was Rex Ryan. I, Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning, I mean, it was unbelievable. And if anybody thinks the Jets played well in that game, first of all, Indy stinks. They're not that good. They are so banged up. They're so out of it. They're not a good team. And I can tell you this. You thought the 45-3 debacle was bad? Let me tell you something, Jet fans, if you are any out there. Your quarterback comes in, and I know he completed 7 of his last 9 passes, but if the Jets come in here on Sunday and get off to a start like that against Indianapolis, that score may be 90-3. Because that was not a good football game, and the Jets did not play a very good game. Indianapolis didn't play a good game either. Neither did New Orleans. Neither did Seattle, for all intents and purposes. Although, you know, they did look better. Obviously, they won the game. And who knows, with Jay Cutler at quarterback, maybe they beat Chicago. Who knows? They beat them already once this year. But did any of those teams really, really, you know, jump out at you, what you saw on Saturday and Sunday? I mean, really? Not me. Sorry. I'm still picking Green Bay in the Super Bowl. I still think, obviously Akers, a couple missed field goals and all that stuff. But once again, Michael Vick, when he had to win the game, throws a pick. I don't want to hear Michael Vick even mentioned in the same sentence as Tom Brady. Then I got some other clown on ESPN the other day that producer Kevin gave me the story. I forgot to bring it in here. I'll get it, though. About this numbnut writing about Ben Roethlisberger rivaling Brady's – yeah, it's out there on the counter. Thanks. Brady's numbers as a great quarterback. And he brought up these just absolutely ridiculous, like two or three numbers – that might have favored Roethlisberger a little bit. It was it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. But that aside, getting back to what I saw this week in the NFL, I just wasn't impressed. Sorry. You weren't impressed by the Jets? No way. I hope to God they play like that. They better play. I tell you what, the Jets have to play flawless just to even be in the game. Just to be in the game, they better play flawless. And I don't care what Bart Scott said to who, what, where, when, how, and why. They are nowhere near the level that the Patriots are at. Not even close. And if that's supposed to be, they're lucky they played a banged-up, cruddy Indianapolis team on Sunday. And yeah, Peyton Manning was still out there, but I'll tell you what, that Caldwell was, I mean, there were some horrible calls. I almost felt bad for Peyton Manning. Because of the horrible coaching that he's probably had to endure, even though the team's been banged up. I'm not sure Caldwell's such a great coach, a head coach. Some of that play calling down the stretch, that 3rd and 6, that running call was just stupid. I mean, the timeout, he saw Peyton Manning on the sidelines, throwing his hands up there, like, what the hell are we doing? I'm never going to make it through 6. I'm going to try like hell. But this is hard because I'm so revved up and I have, like, no voice, but. Suddenly, Peter Brady on the Brady Bunch, but that's okay. Yeah, so now who wrote this, Kevin? Oh, Casey Joyner.
Yeah, it's on ESPN Insider.
I mean, if you want to check it out, I'm not even going to read it because it's just so stupid. It's such a waste of time. I don't know if this guy's a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan or what. He tries to make a case that Roethlisberger's a good Brady. I mean, it's you know, just another Yahoo who hates Brady. And I'm a Roethlisberger guy. I was a Roethlisberger guy. So you might remember, I was a Roethlisberger guy when he was in college. And I said, when he came out, I said, I thought he was going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And some people laughed at me. And I said, well, you don't watch the MAC conference like I do. For a lot of reasons, I watch it. And at that particular year, I knew he was a good quarterback. I knew he'd be good. Now, his personal life and all that crap aside, obviously, he's a dirtbag. But, I mean, he's still a pretty good quarterback on the field. Is he Tom Brady? No. Please. Stop it. So I want all the people who said Kansas City was the trendy team to come forward and show yourselves. It's just unbelievable. I don't understand what some people are watching. Why? Just come out and say it. And I'm telling you right now. Somebody give me like three reasons how the Patriots can lose to the Jets. I just don't see it. Here's what can happen. The Patriots could fumble three straight kickoffs in the end zone, and the Jets could fall on it, and they could score points that way. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win 45-3 again. I think it would be crazy to think that, although not impossible. All I know is after what I saw from the Jets on Sunday, they better play 150,000 times better than that, or they're going to get their butts whipped again. That was not a good win by the Jets. It was a bad Indianapolis team, and that Jets team, it's just, I'm sorry. They're just not that good. They're simply not that good. I gave you the numbers last week, the final eight games of the season, about the Patriots and their defense, how they only average 15.6 points a game given up, which is really all I care about. And overall, points allowed, the Patriots were eighth at 19.6 when it was all said and done. And the Jets were sixth at 19. So after all is said and done and talked about with this great Jet defense we had to hear about all year long, we find out a couple of things. One, they're just simply not that good. They're pretty good. They're not great. Nowhere near being great. They're pretty good. But they averaged, giving up, if you want to play numbers, the Patriots only gave up 0.6 more points per game when it's all said and done. The Jets' pass rush has somewhat disappeared over the last few weeks, in case you haven't noticed. And the Patriots' pass rush has increased tremendously. So it's two teams headed in the opposite direction. I'm not one to get all hyped up into that peaking thing, because I said that. I don't buy into it about teams peaking. I just think winning is winning, and you have to, you got to do it as best you can. And to me, but I understand you take the last four games of this season, compare it to the last four games of the 07 season. And, yeah, the Patriots certainly look better. They weren't challenged quite as much as they were in 07, and I think there are a lot of reasons for that. Obviously, the pressure of going 16-0 is huge. Huge. That had never been done before. 14-0 was done. 16-0 was never done. So, again, I just don't – I think you have to take – each season differently. And then people keep bringing up last year. This is another thing that pisses me off with the local and national media. I'm going to have to excuse me as I have to cough every once in a while. This is bad today, and I apologize. But if anybody brings up the stupid Baltimore game from last year like that in any way, shape, or form has any significance as to what could happen on Sunday here is crazy. Completely different team, completely different set of circumstances. The dynamics of the offense are completely and totally changed. The defense is different. That game last season against Baltimore means nothing, absolutely nothing. Again, extenuating different circumstances. You had Wes Welker, busted his knee up in the Houston game. It was devastating. You could tell the team was not, quite as focused. Never seen him that unfocused in a playoff game ever. It happens. It happens to the best teams. We've seen it over time. But no way should that game is ever going to carry over into what this Patriot team is now. It cracks me up when I hear people bring that game up. It's laughable. Laughable. And also, another complete waste of time is to bring up game two this year. Again, dynamics of the offense completely different. The defense is so much better. Game two, when they lost to the Jets, means nothing. Nothing. And you could say, and I'll disagree, and I'm not just saying this. People can say, oh, well, here he goes. He's being at home, and the pom-poms are coming, all that crap. This just happened a few weeks ago. They got killed by 42 points. 42. This is not week two now. We're talking, week 12 or 13. I do think there's a difference when you get killed by 42 points, you know, the last quarter of the season, as opposed to the first quarter of the season. So somebody come up with some idea of how the hell the Jets can possibly win this game, because I don't see it unless the Patriots completely self-destruct. And to me, it's just a matter of how much. It's going to be a double-digit win. Folks, I promise you. I promise you. I know this team. I've gone through games like this before with this team in certain situations, certain times. And by the way, that whole big playing the team the third time thing, that's hard to do, throw that out the window as well. And I've got numbers, and somebody brought them up today. I can't remember where I heard or read it, but somebody brought it up. The last five times that the teams have played a third time in a playoff game, any two particular teams, after the second team got blown out the second time, you know what the team's record is that blew out the first team? 5-0 in those five games. So it's not like there's a lot of history there of teams that got blown out in game two starting to gonna come back and suddenly find themselves for the playoff game. So we'll shoot down that theory, too. And I can remember the Jets coming in here. I remember the year Mangini and the Jets beat the Patriots here in Foxborough. They met again several weeks later in the playoffs. Remember what happened then? Jets lost by 21. Jets lost by 21 in that game. So I throw all of that stuff out. All right, let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline right now. We're going to check in with Larry Hardesty, for sideline reporter on the Jets radio. It's 10:50 a.m. ESPN New York. Larry, excuse my laryngitis today, but I had to do this show. I was too much passion. I couldn't resist. Thanks so much for taking some time out here on the Pete Shepherd Show. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Pete. Boy, you've been yelling and screaming.
I am. I'm fired up, baby. But I want to get, before we get into this particular game, I want to talk about the story that was on ESPN. And exactly what happened with Bart Scott on the Michael Kay Show, whom you work with on ESPN Radio. Can you is anything going to come of that, or is it just an overhyped thing?
I think it's just an overhyped thing. You know, Bart Scott is a guy who loves to speak his mind. He's a guy who loves to mix it up. He enjoys challenging and jabbing at the media. And, of course, Michael Kay, as you know, is a guy who's been in this business a long time, mm-hmm. doesn't take a step backwards. So the two of them just had a friendly disagreement. But it is going to be interesting to see, how this affects the relationship down the road. But I don't think anything's going to come up with Pete.
All right, well, let's get into, round three of this great Patriots-Jet rivalry. And let me just ask you, as I haven't spoken to you before, I want to ask you about just your thoughts overall. Do you think what Rex Ryan, and I'm just going to stick it with this week. We all know the past and what he said before and everything else. Some of it's, mm-hmm. a lot of it's backfired on him. And, I just don't think he's helping his team by saying what he's saying. I just don't think it works.
Well, you know what, Pete? You and I agree with that, and many of the reporters that cover this team agree with it. You know, when you talk to the players, they're all for it. They love it. They love the fact that Rex is in their corner. They don't call him coach. They call him Rex. When they don't do well, they all say, you know, it's like we let our dad down. So, you know, if it works for them, I guess it works. But, Pete, here's the one thing I know we can agree on. Eventually, it's going to run out. Eventually, he's going to have to come up with something else that is going to be, a change of idea, change of philosophy to really motivate his team. On the surface, we will be talking to him about what you're going to do about stopping Brady, what are you going to do about Welker, so on and so forth, and we will do that. But, Pete, this buys his guy some extra time. And, you know, the other thing we find out about Rex is, he's a sensitive guy, and he takes losing very hard, very competitive. So a lot of what he says is really how he feels. That's the interesting thing about it.
No, I understand that. And, of course, Bill around here is a lot more, reserved and all that stuff. And he played along a little bit with the banter of Rex Ryan, because I know he respects the Rex Ryan. He respects the Ryan family tremendously, and he said that, time and time again. And we all know that. I'm just, I just think when Rex says stuff like, it's personal now between Belichick and I, and the same thing afterwards last week against, at the press conference. It says, Peyton Manning. I mean, to me, it's like, it sounded like Pop Warner football to me, like some rah-rah coach that shouldn't even be in the NFL. I don't get it.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Pete. And once again, I agree with you. I think it's an act that does wear thin, but you know, once again, as long as the players, and here's the thing, the players enjoy it, the players like it, and right now he's winning. So as long as he's winning, he's not going to change. The question is going to be, how does he continue once the winning stops? How does he continue to motivate his team, keep his team interested? I mean, Pete, we go and we tell the players what he says, and they're like, oh, that's Rex being Rex, or, oh, sounds like Rex Ryan. So they understand it, they hear it. To them, it's no big deal.
Well, as we were talking about earlier, after watching all these games this weekend, it just nobody. I just think right now, the last, you know, 7 or 8 weeks of the season, the Patriots are simply, like them or hate them or whatever. But they are, there's no doubt about it, they are just on a different level than everybody else. And I've tried to come up with, you know, scenarios this week. I mean, last week all I heard about was all these numbnut national guys saying what a threat Kansas City would be because they would run the ball. I think some of these people make this stuff up as they go along. But I got to tell you this, watching the Jets and the Colts on Sunday, Larry, if they don't play, they're going to come out and play like about 200 times better than that, or they're going to get killed again. That was not a good game for either team. I mean, you can say what you want about Sanchez down the stretch, completing 7 to 9 passes, and Braylon Edwards, which I thought was more of a big catch than a great throw. But they, I mean, Sanchez can't come out and play like that against the Patriots. So they're going to get mauled again.
Oh, well, and he knows that. And that was the first thing, Pete, that he said afterwards, that he knows he's got to play 10, 15 times better than what he did. Look, everybody understands that the Patriots are an outstanding team. They've been an outstanding team for the better part of last decade and the beginning of this decade. At 14-2, they're very good. They're very good. They have an outstanding quarterback in Tom Brady. It's amazing that Bill Belichick is able to continue to retool this team on the run. Gets rid of Randy Moss, makes his offense even more versatile because he can spread you out defensively. Nobody talks about the running game. You run the football well. This was supposed to be a down year defensively, and it may not be as good as the defenses that New England's had in the past, but it's good enough because here's the thing. The Patriots are so far ahead, they make you one-dimensional. So you're not running the football down 20-0 or 31-7. You got to throw the football to try to stay in it, and they do have an excellent pass rush. And if you do try to run, you got a very talented nose tackle in Wolfolk there. So look, there's no question the Jets have their work cut out for them. They have to play almost the perfect game to get this win. Mm. The thing about them, Pete, is they think they can do that because over the past 2 years they've split the four matches with the Patriots. So they think, when you talk to them, that they have a puncher's chance on Sunday.
All right, and I understand that, and I have to say that, and if I were playing for the Jets, I'd probably feel the same way, but you just look at the way the teams are shaping up right now. Unless the Patriots completely self-destruct, I don't see it. But let's get into some X's and O's a little bit on how what I thought was interesting about the last meeting, not the score, but how the Patriots kind of countered the Darrell Revis effect by – because people forget, I think the leading receiver the last game was Danny Woodhead, believe it or not. People think it might have been Branch. I think Danny Woodhead had over 100 yards receiving in that game. Between the tight ends and the way they move people around, and Revis had to cover different people all the time, which I think is the way to go with him. How do the Jets stop all these Patriot weapons? How can they do it?
Well, I don't know that they can, Pete. What they've tried to do, well, here's what teams have done against them. Much like you talk about with Danny Woodhead and much like you talk about with the tight ends of Gronkowski and Hernandez, tight ends and runners and running backs out of the backfield have killed them because the middle of the zone in the middle of the field is open. They try to take away the outside, and they do a reasonably good job in that with Revis and Cromartie, but it has been the safeties who have been victimized, and it has been the second level of defenders, the Drew Coleman, the Kyle Wilsons, the other players who are in the nickel and dime coverage that have been susceptible to giving up big plays. The thing they were able to do against Indianapolis was the middle of the field was still open, but they were able to tackle and not give up yards after the catch. So they were able to tackle the receivers before as soon as the ball got caught, they were able to tackle the receivers. So that was the difference. How they're going to do against New England, I have no idea because, as you mentioned, New England spreads you out. So you can have Revis and Cromartie, and now there were one-on-one matchups where Eric Smith was guarding a wide receiver as a safety. That's a mismatch. Then what New England does very well is they run pick plays. So you end up with who's supposed to be a corner, for example, maybe, or a linebacker, maybe looking to get a running back out of the backfield. He's picked off, and then you've got a lineman chasing a running back down the field. So it's going to be a very tall order for the Jets defense to try to figure out a way to keep this team off the scoreboard.
The one thing I've noticed, too, watching both teams the last 4 or 5 weeks is something that I don't think a lot of Patriot or Jets fans might have thought about in week 1, 2, 3, or 4. But right now, the Patriots, in my opinion, actually have a better pass rush than the Jets do. That's what I've seen over the last 4 or 5 weeks. I never thought that would be the case if you looked at the teams early on. But I think right now the Patriots' pass rush is better than the Jets.
The Patriots' pass rush has been better than the Jets' pass rush all year because the Jets really haven't had a pass rush unless they've been able to generate off the blitz. And because of the inconsistencies with Darrelle Revis and injuries and being held out, they really have not rushed the passer. Okay, the stats will show differently, but they've got a ton of those sacks in the two meetings they had with Buffalo, which is, you and I will agree, is one of the worst teams in the NFL and have trouble with their offensive line. So while they've had 41 sacks for the year, and they went through a stretch where they had 11 sacks in 3 games, it's misleading. They have not been able to get consistent pressure on the quarterback without blitzing the football. When you look at what they did last week against Peyton Manning, they really said, listen, we want you to run the football. We don't care if you run. If you don't beat us running, great. Have fun. So they did not blitz at all, and they really put 7-8 in coverage to try to keep him that way.
Let me ask you about Mark Sanchez. In your opinion, watching him, do you think he's improved this year, or do you think he's just kind of leveled off and really hasn't shown much improvement? And take away the one throw he made to Braylon Edwards, which I think was more of a great catch. I mean, I know he called his own play and got it, but I mean, seriously, I mean, do you think this guy is improving, or is he just kind of 2 steps forward, 1 step back type of thing?
Yeah, and Pete, I'll answer this, and I'm going to have to run because
opened
up the locker room.
No problem.
Yeah, he's improved somewhat. You're seeing him do the fundamental things better, but he's just better, Pete, when he can go off play action, when he can roll out. Then he's more effective. I think the shoulder is definitely bothering him. It's causing the ball to sail on him because he's trying to put too much on it, and it's taken off. But we've seen some signs that he's going to mature and be very good in his second year, as he moves on in this year. But I just think he's been inconsistent, and that's what second-year quarterbacks are.
All right, Larry, thanks a lot so much for taking some time out. Good luck this weekend, and we'll talk to you somewhere down the road, I'm sure. Thank you again so much.
Thanks, Pete. Looking forward to it. Get that voice better.
Thanks. I'm working on it. That's Larry Hardesty, who is a sideline reporter for the Jets Radio Network on 1050 AM ESPN in New York. Good guy. And I've never met him personally before, but you can just tell. I know things about people, Kevin. I know things about people. He sounds like a good guy. And he knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, he was
Sunday.
Good.
He knows what's going to happen Sunday. He's not buying into the Rex Ryan. I mean, he knows. And he kind of backed up what I said earlier, which is the Jets, the only way they win is they have to play a flawless game. I mean, absolutely flawed. That's just to be in it. That's just to even be in the game. And pray to God that the Patriots, don't have a huge meltdown like last year in the playoffs. But like I said, there is no way that game is carrying over last year's playoff to this team. It's just not going to happen. All right, lots of more to talk about the Patriots-Jets game. I'm going to get some more water. Hopefully my voice will hold out until 6 o'clock. We'll see what happens. You can email me. Please do. I want to hear your thoughts today. Email webradio@patriots.com. Also, my Facebook page is open, so please post anything on the wall. I also have a nice, interesting little photo on my Facebook page if you'd like to see. And it has to, incredibly, it does have to do with the Jets, but I think you'll find it semi-amusing if you want to check it out. It's under Pete Shepard, S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. You want to check that out. You can react to the one of the wall photos that I found today from another Facebook buddy of mine. And, of course, the Ace Ticket Hotline is always available to you. 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. When we come back, write to your emails, phone calls, opinions, comments, whatever you want to talk about. Somebody please tell me how the Jets can even stay in the game with the Patriots. I'd like to know. Back after this.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Now's your chance. Give Pete a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Well, back here on Patriots.com, it is the Pete Shepherd Show as I struggle with my laryngitis here, so bear with me, everybody. You can give me a call here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Email me, of course, webradio at patriots.com. And Facebook, me, my page is open as well. Let's get to some of these emails, and then we'll get into some more football stuff. A couple quick practice notes in case you missed it. Aaron Hernandez back in the field today. You know, he had the flu and the hip injury, a little hip injury. He was back. And Danny Woodhead, no more red jersey for you. Come back 1 year. But he's back and allowed to receive contact, if you will. So that's a good thing. So they'll all be ready to go. Let's see. Here's on web radio at patriots.com is our first email of the day. Ron says, Ron in Florida, It's great to hear common sense here besides what we hear on the NFL Network or ESPN. I totally agree on last year's Baltimore game. I am so sick and tired of hearing about what it was last year. If this team was Pitt or Dallas or any big name of America's love fest, it would be the greatest team ever. The Pats just seem to be hated and demoralized no matter what we do. Rex Ryan is a true jerk off. I want to see his foot so far down his, hey, it's his wife's foot there, buddy. His wife's foot. I want to see his foot far down his mouth. He won't be able to run his mouth till next season. Oh, I have so much more, but I'm just fuming. Ron, don't worry. Don't worry, my friend, because I told you, this game is, we know who the better coach is. We know who the better quarterback is. We sure as hell know who the better team is. And like I said, they may not win by 42, but they're going to win by double digits. Whether it's 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, I don't care. Put some numbers in a hat and draw it out. Because I'm telling you now that this Jet team cannot compete mentally or physically. They can't compete with this Patriot team. The level of football that I saw from them on Sunday simply is not that good. They're just not. Sorry. It's the way it is. Not that good. Let's see. There's another email from Justin, and I had to say numbers. Patriots points allowed, it's first eight games, average points scored 27, average points allowed 24. Last eight games, this is what I broke down to as well. I told you this last week, average points scored 37, average points allowed 15. It's actually 15.6, and they've scored 37.3. I broke that down last week. So basically, the Patriots over the last eight games of the regular season allowed less than a touchdown. 6.2 points less per game than they did the first eight games. That's progress, my friends. That is progress. Good email, Justin. I broke those numbers down last week because I was very curious myself. And like I said, when it was all said and done and points allowed, which really isn't that the only defensive number that really counts, points allowed, Patriots finished eighth overall, 19.6, and the mighty Jets were sixth at 19.0. Oh, my good friend Tiffany in Wisconsin says, big game tonight with Michigan State. Hope you're drinking tea with honey. I can tell you this, for a Jets playoff week, a sick Pete beats no Pete any day. Thanks for taking one for the team. Oh, thank you, Tiffany. I appreciate it. And by the way, I will be on again this Thursday from 2 to 4.
Yeah, we teased that earlier in the day.
Did
on
you
PFW.
Really?
We did.
Nice. I like when I'm teased.
It'll be John Halam on the against
exactly.
El Duque.
So you get all that on Thursday from 2 to 4. And if you think I'm pissed off now about what people are saying about the Jets, I mean, wait to hear me on Thursday. Because Rex Ryan will have said 10 more dumb things by that
time. So I'd imagine we have to save the picks till Thursday, right?
No, I'll do them again.
Do them twice?
Yeah, I'll do them again. 2-2 on my picks last week, by the way. Everybody got New Orleans wrong, and I was certainly right in that group.
This guy didn't get New Orleans wrong.
Did you say Seattle? Well, that was good.
Yeah, point. Do you have a minute?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Is this from one of the other shows? It's a total self-promotion plug.
But New Orleans at Seattle, Seahawks are getting 10.5.
Seattle Seahawks are a terrible football team, and they don't deserve to be in the postseason. Yeah. And they will lose to the New Orleans Saints.
Just to get it on the air, Seahawks are winning the game.
I think you're wrong, my friends. New Orleans will go to Seattle, take care of business by 14 to 17 points. It's not going
to
be close.
Just to get it on the air, Seahawks are winning the game.
Yeah, I'm with Andy. I will take the Saints to win the game. They will win the game because they're better by a lot.
Just to get it on the air, Seahawks are winning the game.
I think their defense is just going to be relentless.
All four of those boobs were wrong. Miserably wrong.
Team, yeah. And they just go
crazy.
Swallow
a big dose of gorgeous pills.
Listen to the shots they take
here. Whoever
the
quarterback is for the Seahawks, and they cover.
Just to get it on the air, Seahawks are winning the game. Just to get it on the record.
Really, what makes you say that?
Who cares? Stop talking to me. We don't have time for that.
No, I just wanted to be able
to. We don't have time. Save it for the AK-47.
One of your friends on Facebook tell you that?
See the shots Fred takes just because he's not on Facebook?
Why is your friend on Facebook?
I don't know. He has no Facebook friends, so that's why.
Fred?
That's why he's taking shots.
I'll be your friend, Fred. Come on, baby.
But just because they were all wrong doesn't make me bad for being right.
No, I know who else wasn't wrong. You know, you're in pretty good company because somebody that one of the few guys I really respect on the air on ESPN NFL Network, and you know who was with you. You remember on Sunday?
Was it Schefter?
Keyshawn.
Or Keyshawn. There you go.
Yo, Keyshawn.
Sometimes Schefter will pick the.
Yeah.
The kind of, like, he picked the Browns to beat the Patriots, and I was like stunned because he was the only one to pick that upset.
He was, and I know some, but he's not a phony, baloney, you know, gorgeous type.
No.
You know? He speaks from his heart. He's not going to make it personal. It's about what he truly
anyway,
believes.
The PFW guys took it personal that I was right and they were wrong. I think they were insulted. They started personally attacking me today.
Why?
I don't know.
Just like the Patriots did when they picked against Miami. I mean, picked Miami back.
Yeah, they look really bright in that game.
Well, see, what problem is that I'm not saying I don't want to be objective. And remember, people forget it. People always say how I never pick against the Patriots. This, any, I picked Baltimore last year. Those of you who listened on the show that I was on last year on the radio, I picked Baltimore last year. I did not like the way the season
That's
ended.
Intense.
I did not like what I saw. I criticized that team last year a lot. There were a lot. And again, last year is the key phrase. They got a lot of criticism from me, Fred, and Steve when we were working together.
Yeah.
And people just kind of, you know, but I'm telling you, when a team like this, which is an absolute juggernaut right now and a complete wrecking machine, I'm not going to sit here and try to come up with stupid little isms or categories about how I think they're vulnerable. Screw that. They're not vulnerable. They're going to whack the crap out of this team. I'm telling you.
And the key point I think you just made, Pete, is that where the team was going into the playoffs last year and this year are two completely polar opposite different places.
It's totally different. You cannot. And even if they had played Baltimore this week, you would have heard all the BS about last year's game. It means nothing. It's a totally different dynamic. This team is completely different. Not only has the dynamics changed this year, it's changed from week two to week 18. Forget about last year's stupid playoff game. This team right now is on a different level. Deal with it, people. You can say it. It's okay. They simply are. Are they perfect? No, nobody is. But they're close. Right now, they're as close as you can get. Your average winning games by 37 to 15 the last 8 weeks of the season, that's pretty damn good. So until somebody or some team shows me differently, I do not have to abide by anybody's opinion but my own and what I see. And as I said, what I see is a wrecking machine. And they are going to be, and the only team that's going to beat them is them. Themselves. And I don't see that happening. They're too focused, too disciplined for that.
Yeah, most men like to do a lot of things with those people.
Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Here's John. Pete, you're a trooper. If you, when the Patriots do blow the Jets out Sunday, I hope that Belichick steps up and slaps down Ryan the same way he did it to Pittsburgh safety Smith back in 2007. The crap from Ryan is getting old when he started talking about Brady not preparing as hard as Manning went over the edge. Totally agree with you, John.
It's a joke.
Childish. Childish. By the way, NFL Network this week. Hope everybody caught the Bill Belichick.
That's where that clip was
from.
Oh,
I was going to say. Bill Belichick, half hour Bill Belichick mic'd up. Awesome.
I recorded that in here just for the purpose of getting the sound bites off it.
I'm telling you, that stuff is great. And it's not just when they mic Bill, because it's very rare that that he's mic'd up. But I just love NFL Network when they do that stuff, and any coach. It's great. And by the other thing, too, just as an aside real quick, because I get distracted as I usually do and go off bait, but I saw the Vince Lombardi piece today on HBO. I hadn't seen it yet. I know it's been out, for a year. It's 90 minutes long. It is fantastic. If you're a football fan, HBO, go to On Demand, go to Sports and Documentaries, and click on Simply Lombardi. It is a fascinating piece. And I've read a couple books about Vince, and some of the stuff I knew already about his coaching background and what he had to go through. But I'll tell you, when being discriminated against as an Italian-American from different than he was told that by several other coaches.
Nobody discriminates against you, though, Pete.
No. I'm always a victim.
You'll kill someone.
No, I'm not. Come on. I'm a gentleman. I'm not a violent man. I just attack with my
words.
Just
against Rex.
I don't wish Rex any harm. I just want him to get his butt whipped again. I don't wish any harm on the man. I don't hate the man. I hate what comes out of his mouth. I respect him as a coordinator, a defensive coordinator. I think he's way over his head as a head coach. And I can tell you this, they come in here and play like that, like they play on Sunday against Indianapolis, they will lose by at least 3 touchdowns. And trust me, they'll be calling for his head. They will.
Being a jackass.
They come in here and lose by 3 touchdowns and get blown out again. They will be calling for his head. Mark my words. Now, I'm not saying he's going to get fired. I don't think he will. But all of a sudden, he's talked the talk and really hasn't walked the walk. He's 3-1 in the playoffs. So what? Big deal. They backed in both years. The last year was a joke how they got in. Everybody knows that. Now, you can't take away from what they did when they actually got there because they won 2 games. And they were ahead in the AFC Championship, but lost in the end. They got blown out in the end. but I still have a hard time coming up with I'm trying to figure out how they can even stay in the game. Really. I'm trying to figure it out, and that's only if the Patriots come out flat like they did in against. I just don't see it. They're just too disciplined right now. It'd be one thing if they had, I know, and even the Green Bay game. I mean, you know, maybe if they come out and play like they did in that game, but does anybody really think that's going to happen, knowing that Matt Flynn was going to start? People made such a big deal out of that game. I think people didn't make enough out of the Miami game. Why don't people get it? Do you know how hard that game meant nothing to that team, and they demolished Miami. And you have players on the Dolphins saying right after the game that that's the hardest anybody's played us all year. Doesn't that tell you a lot more than, you know, than a stupid Matt Flynn Green Bay game? Tells me a lot. You have members of the Miami Dolphins coming out saying that's as hard as we've been hard team has played against us all year. That's last game of the season meant nothing to the Patriots. And they still stomped on him. And if you saw the Bill in the locker room after on Patriots All Access, one of those shows, you know, he's like, you know, that's the way to keep your foot on the gas. I mean, that was impressive. Say what you want. That kind of stuff is impressive. Look how bad Kansas City played the last game of the season against Oakland.
And then look what happened.
Saw it before with Indianapolis a couple years ago. They took the foot off the gas pedal. Lost in the playoffs. You know, I mean, a lot of this stuff, the kind of stuff that gets overlooked, it's unbelievable to me. They want to talk about, you know, they want to nitpick these stupid little, you know, one little number here, one little number there. Look at the big picture. Wrecking machine. That's what you have in this team in the New England Patriots. And they will roll on Sunday, and they will. Trust me. Double digits. Pick your score. I don't care. 10, 20, 30, doesn't matter. They are not going to lose this game. Not going to lose this game. Back on Facebook, here's Ed, who says, oh, man. I'm going to try my voice. I'm trying, Kevin. This is tough.
It comes in and out.
Yeah, it's in and out. Ed says, Rex Ryan reminds me of, and you know, remember Biff from Back to the Future? I never knew his last name was Tannen. I guess it must be in the credits, his last name. I never knew his last name was Tannen.
Nah, I would have never got that either.
Big fan of the first Back to the Future, by the way. Rex Ryan reminds me of Biff Tannen from Back to the Future. All muscle but no brain. He acts tough only to run into a manure truck. Seriously, the guy is going to catch a wave of bleep from the media when he doesn't deliver on his Super Bowl promise. That's true. I just said that. How long do you think they'll put up with Rex's running his mouth and not delivering in New York before they tell him to shut up and coach? Well, I think it's going to
come. It's already starting.
I think it is starting.
From some of the stuff that I've read on like for ESPN New York, for example.
Yep.
I'm seeing a lot of guys who write for ESPN New York saying, this act is getting old. This act is getting tired. Why can't we just play football?
Exactly. And it, you know, it's just, and you could tell from Larry's point, we just had Larry on, from the Jets Radio Network, Larry Hardesty was taught, and you could count, he didn't like it. And
no.
I know that most of the reporters don't like it.
It gets to a point where it just doesn't make sense.
Exactly. This, what he's done this week is, you know, it's personal between Belichick. God, stop it. Stop it. And Bill's going to react to that. You're going to get bulletin board material. I'll read you some of the Jets bulletin board material. Not bulletin board material. I'll read you some of the stuff they said. And recently, it's in the Patriots Football Weekly that came out. Well, you guys will get it tomorrow. I got it today. But you guys
ahead of schedule.
Always ahead of schedule. Let me get back to the some of these emails here. And you can, again, email me at webradiopatriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. There is Sean in the Bridgewater. He says, Pete, even with a bad voice, I'd listen to you speak over anyone else out there in the sports world.
That's loyalty, Pete.
Keep it up, my friend.
That's loyalty.
I'll tell you what. You got to love my he's in Connecticut, actually. Got to love Connecticut. My question is, as a Pats fan, who would you rather play in the AFC Championship game, the Steelers or the Ravens, and why? Your number one fan, Sean Bridgewater from West Simsbury, Connecticut. Sean, thank you for the kind words. And I'm going to give you the Belichick answer when it comes to who I'd rather face in the AFC Championship game. I don't care. From a narcissistic slash sadistic slash, I don't know, it's just kind of fun to see. I wouldn't mind the Steelers coming here and beat up on them some more, too. Because they're always good for it. You know, they'll talk and yap it up. And now Baltimore certainly, I mean, I think you saw the way the Patriots defense, I really thought that game was a coming out, so to speak, about the Patriots defense this year, even though it was fairly early. But you saw glimpses of what this Patriots defense could do. And when they stopped Baltimore in the fourth quarter and all of the overtime, I think six straight possessions, they went three and out, I believe. And, you know, that was a big game. I think both teams propose a much greater challenge to the Patriots than the Jets do, obviously. But still, as I said, I mean, Baltimore looked good. I mean, Kansas City is pathetic. So, I mean, that was just – I mean, then they gave them 25 points, 24 points in that game, gave it to them. So I don't know how you can say Baltimore looked that great. I think it'd be one thing. I mean, Kansas City was ahead in that game, 7-3, and then gave up the next 27 points, whatever it was. All right, let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Carl is in Montreal calling here on the Pete Shepherd Show. Hey, Carl.
Hey, Pete, what's going on? And I've been banned from the Montreal morning show. The guy's a big Jets fan, and you know, I called Rex Ryan a fat mouth. We're going to shut his fat mouth, and he's going to go through the agony of defeat.
What happened? The Montreal guy, radio host, got upset about that?
Yeah, he basically said, you know, you can praise your team without insulting the other teams. He's like, you're doing just what Rex Ryan does, you know?
Oh, so he enjoys it when Rex Ryan does it, but not when you do it. It's all typical hypocritical Jet fan. Gotta love it.
You know, my favorite Rex Ryan quote is the one when he says, we're going to come here. We're not going to back down from anyone.
Yeah.
And he says, and if you take out one of our guys, we'll take out two of yours.
Yeah, sure they will.
I love that.
Maybe out to
breakfast. Let's make sure we play like the f-ing New York Jets.
See, that's the quote. That always cracks me up. Tell me, what does that mean? What does that mean? Go out and play like a New York Jet. What does that mean? Unless you're on a team from 1968 that won the Super Bowl, what does that mean? Really? What have they done?
You know what? I think his version of it is basically running the football, which they're pretty good at, and
eating a bunch of cheeseburgers.
They're good at it, not great at it. They've been okay. And the Colts were the worst rushing defense in the NFL.
Yeah,
second
the Colts, I mean, squeaking us. I mean, they should have lost that game to Tennessee. I knew they didn't have what it took, but I picked them to get it done because I thought Peyton Manning
I did too.
Would play better. That 3rd and 7 call, the rush
awful.
Where he, I think it was Bart Scott that jumped off the tackle and made the play.
I mentioned that earlier, and I tell you, it was that Caldwell coached that game was so poorly coached, and that timeout where Manning threw his hands up, like, what the hell are you doing? You know, I mean, it was just a horribly coached game, that 3rd and 6 or 6.5, whatever it was. Such a horrible call. And you're right. I mean, the Jets gave that away. Cromartie, of course, you give him credit for the kickoff return, put him in position. But the whole game was ugly. I mean, the Colts looked bad. I mean, the Jets looked bad, and the Colts looked worse. That's how that was. I mean, that was like watching a JV game, to be honest with you. It really was.
Yeah, you know what? I listened to your big question there. Try to find a way the Jets can win, and I don't see it. I think that the New England Patriots, they won't be able to run. Vince Wilfork and Gerard Warren, they're going to clog up that middle. Mayo and Guyton and hopefully Spikes will fill the gaps.
Yeah.
You know, our secondary, McCourty seems to pick off a ball every game.
That's right.
So we're gonna win it just by a question of how much. And I honestly, like you, I think the game will be done by halftime. Now, the question is, who do I want to play next week? Baltimore seems to give us more trouble. And Pittsburgh, you know, they've just been going about their business quietly, so I respect them for that. But you know what? I'd rather play Pittsburgh than Baltimore. For whatever reasons, I don't know, maybe I'm exaggerating,
but I think
Suggs is the type of guy that he'll take a cheap shot at Brady.
Well, it's always more fun to – it's just more – the rivalry with Pittsburgh is there a little bit. And it's just more fun to beat up on them than Baltimore.
Well,
we haven't played – you know, Patriots haven't played Pittsburgh here in the playoffs at home, and – in a while, not since the Drew Bledsoe-Terry Glenn 1996 game that was here in the fog early on when they beat them up pretty good in that game. But they haven't played them here in a playoff game since that time.
No, next year they're playing at Pittsburgh, and they're hosting Indy next year.
Yeah.
So we're not going to go to Pittsburgh for a while. So, you know, hopefully, you know, we're going to be playing, I think we're, like you said, we're going to be playing the Green Bay Atlanta winner in the Super Bowl. You know what? I don't want to overlook Atlanta because they're tough at home, and the home games.
Green Bay should have beat them there the first time in the regular season. That would they fumbled the ball on the 1 yard line, and that was a game that Green Bay should have won. I think Green Bay and the Patriots are the teams that will be in the Super Bowl. I really do.
Yeah, it's possible, but you know what? I'd rather play Atlanta because I think they're less less matchups towards.
Yep.
I mean, Green Bay with their blitzing with Matthews and. That guy who played, the guy of Raji, who had a big game there.
Raji's from Boston College.
DJ. Yeah, he had a huge game.
He did. Yep.
And I'd rather play Atlanta, but whatever works out. I mean, like you, I think Patriots are definitely going to go the whole way, and love the show, and keep up the good stuff, Pete.
Thank you, my friend, very much, and take care of those Montreal numbnuts up there. They don't know. Tell them to stick to the Canadiens. What a debacle that was. By the way, University of Michigan. Now, I know this guy's up and coming. I know San Diego State.
Just signed an extension with them, too,
San
Diego
State. Great. You got to love the club. But San Diego's Michigan hires Brady Hoke.
As their new head coach.
Yeah, the Aztecs. And they had a good – they were in a bowl game this year.
Respectable season.
I think the first time they've been in a bowl in quite some time, right?
But he's definitely not Les Miles.
No. Well, Les is staying, right?
Les is staying, but he was up, one of the –
The Brett Favre of the NCAA football, Les Miles.
Yeah.
I'm going, I'm staying. Me. So San Diego State, you're a Michigan fan out there. You get Brady Hoke.
Polar opposite of Rich Rod.
Wow, I think the –
they went with the huge name. Now they're going with the small name.
You know, here's the thing. Just to get off the beaten path a little bit, and I'm going to reserve judgment. I'll tell you why. Because you talk about eating crow. I'll eat some crow with Chizik because I remember being on the radio when Auburn hired him, and I kept saying, you got to be crazy. Here's a guy who was at Iowa State who won nothing. He was like 8 or 9 games under 500. And I'm like, why in the hell is Auburn hiring Gene Chizik to go coach this team? What has he proven? I know alumni were outraged. I know people who are fans of Auburn. And I know it's sometimes a sin on Boston radio to talk about college football, but there are a lot of people that care. And there were, I remember we had a couple calls about it, believe it or not. I was stunned when Auburn hired Chizik, and there he is now a few years later, national champion. So I'll reserve. The one guy I didn't think had a chance, I just didn't think Rodriguez had a chance at all at Michigan, leaving West Virginia. But Michigan hires Brady Hoke. Anyway, that's a little college football tidbit. Back to the Patriots and the Jets. Big game coming up on Sunday. Back to the emails. Eric says, Eric from California, who would win? Belichick? Let me see. Belichick yourself is what I call Belichick. Or Sexy Rexy. Who would win? On a quick sprint, that'd be Bill. No question about it. On an arm wrestling match, you know what? Bill would win that too. He'd find a way to get leverage. Even though he'd be out-muscled, did he find a way to win that? Picking up the cutest girl at the bar? I don't know. That'd be a tie. Drinking tequila? I'd have to go with Rex in that one. Madden 2011? Oh, Belichick would kill him in Madden 2011. And on Sunday, it'll be, what we thought it's going to be. It'll be a Patriot win. Here is another, who's this from? Fat Pat. Says, wow, Pete, you're on a beast mode today. I have just one request. Can I hear that goddamn snack drop? As is my favorite. Rexy's quotes. Thanks. Can we get that, Kev? Let's get one of our fans wants to hear
what do you want?
The snack comment from the mouth. Ask and you shall receive, my friend.
Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
Yeah.
Let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
Absolutely. All right. Let's take another quick break. Here it is. Phone number you can reach me, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Don't forget, I have a show coming up on Thursday as well, special show here from 2 to 4. Is it the name of a show I'm filling in for somebody? I know it's a different show.
You're filling for John Rook. Patriots Playbook is the name of the
Patriots
show.
Patriots Playbook. Nice.
You will be inside the playbook, as he says.
Inside the playbook, all right. Well, that'll be. I'll have the playbook. I have a copy of the Patriots Playbook right here. I'm going to go through every single play. Right here.
Bill might not like that.
No, I wouldn't do that. Well, it's be the wrong place. It would be the opposite. You know, if there's a slot left, it would be right. So obviously, I'm not going to give away the game plan. I think I am. Like Bart Scott, I'm going on Michael Kay's show and giving away game plan information, funneling teams down the middle of the field.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Very stupid, to be honest with you. But anyway, email me, webradiopatriots.com. Facebook me. My page is open. I'm going to try and get my voice here back together for the final hour, see if I can make it. I will have my picks, and I got a surprise in there for you. I got a surprise pick coming up later on the show. Might surprise you a little bit. It's all part of the Pete Shepherd Show right here on Patriots.com.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's Gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Belichick, I recognize the fact this is a Hall of Fame coach, and he'll go down the history as maybe the greatest football coach in the history of this game, or going to be close to it. He was at that level that week, and I was not. For whatever reason, you know, I never had my team prepared the way it should have been prepared, and that falls right down on me. I recognize that this week, this is about Bill Belichick versus Rex Ryan. There's no question. It's personal. It's about him against myself.
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, a man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Oh, yeah. Final hour here at the Pete Shepherd Show as I try to get my voice back and hang on here until 6 o'clock. I will have my picks coming up in just a little bit. More of your comments and questions coming up. My Facebook page is open. Lots of comments to read from there. I also have a nice little picture up there that I think you guys might want to see. You can also feel free to share it, steal it, whatever you want. It's pretty funny. I think, and I will not take credit for it. Somebody else on Facebook gave it to me a couple hours ago, so I just decided to put it on my wall. How could I not? It's hysterical. Anyway, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Harold from North Carolina, you're up next here on the Pete Shepherd Show. Hi, Harold. Harold.
I just dropped you.
Harold, oh, my God.
He left you hanging, Petey.
Harold, jeez. Oh, man, I thought we were buddies. I thought we were
pals.
That's
what's tough about not having a phone screener.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, let's get – I mean, this is a highly rated – by the way, can I thank my listeners?
You can, of course.
A lot of them. I mean, thousands. I'm not saying that. I'm not being vain. You know, I didn't know what to expect when I started this thing, and those of you who knew me, even though I'm 43 years old, I'm not a 20 something, but I certainly have the mentality of one. There's no doubt about that. Some might say less, but I'm basically a big kid who's never going to grow up. That's what I am, and that's what I'll always be. It's one thing about myself. I hope I never lose. However, I was skeptical about what it was going to be like doing this and being on the internet and all that stuff. And I got to tell you, it has been unbelievable. And not to get all mushy with everybody, but I just never expected this kind of response. And we started off the first week with like 15 or 18,000, with very little advertisement, and I didn't expect that. The Patriots have been great so far, and I thank everybody for giving me a shot doing this thing. But now we're averaging over 50,000 hits a show, which is pretty damn good. And that's with not a lot of advertising and it's, for my 1 week, and hopefully next year will be more. This week will be two shows this week, and hopefully next week we'll even get it to be more. But and if the Patriots go to Dallas, maybe we'll do 4 or 5 shows that week. Who knows? Who knows? I can tell you this. I ain't planning on being down there. If the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, I will be down there. So we'll take it one step at a time. But I want to thank everybody, all the listeners, and for checking in, even if it's only for 5 minutes or 5 seconds, it doesn't matter. Appreciate it, and believe me, it means a lot. So thank you all. I just found out that the ratings have like gone up like 200% over the last couple of months. So that's fantastic. So I'm very happy with that. Anyway, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Web Radio at Patriots.com. Facebook me. Let's get back to Web Radio at Facebook at Patriots.com. Here's, let's see. Bad Kevin says, Pete and Kevin, I have never been able to listen to you live and write in, but I have listened to your podcast. It's great to hear someone that is so confident in the Pats. I'm in total agreement with you. This is not a game. The Jets have only beaten 3 teams with a winning record, Patriots, Steelers, and Colts. They had a very easy schedule and can't beat a team that is worth bleep. Rex is spouting at the mouth because he knows his team sucks. Keep up the good work, man. F the Jets. Well, there's a very fair and impartial look at how to analyze a game. Well, the thing is, you can't just say they haven't beat the Jets. They beat those teams again, but they beat the Patriots in week 2. I throw that out. I'll give them credit for the Steeler win. I give them credit for that. And they really should have beaten. The Bears was, look, they could have lost 4 of the last 5. This team had a scrap and claw and gnaw their way to the playoffs because they could have lost 5 or 6 games easily. But ifs and buts with candy and nuts, we'd all have a hell of a party, right? Fact is, they did do it. There were times when Sanchez made some clutch throws this year that got him in. And all I'm saying is right now, as I said, the Patriots are a wrecking machine. They are too far. They are superior. They're not better. Superior to the Jets in every way, shape, or form. And you can't argue otherwise right now at this point in the season. Don't talk to me about week 2. Now, like I said, I don't think they're going to win by 40, but they're going to win by double digits. So name your score. Whatever it is. Like Pepper. Give me a percentage. Dave says, people are hoping that you are injecting your brand of humor into the Rex Ryan garbage. I told you before that we had them when we were where we wanted them. This is even more true next week. I'm glad we have you on Patriots.com to help us lead up to the game. I can't wait to download this week's show tonight. Dave from Facebook. Well, thanks, Dave. Meanwhile, back to Facebook. Going back and forth. My buddy Mike says, it's going to be interesting to see how the refs call the game. If they allow Jets linebackers and DBs to manhandle our receivers like they did when they played Pittsburgh, it could cause a problem. I don't think it'll cause a problem because the Jets are not talented enough to handle the Patriot offense. And like I said, they're going to probably employ the same type of game plan, with obviously Patriots are going to confuse the Jets with their offensive formations. But they did it. They controlled Revis in the second game. He was guarding a whole bunch of different people. It wasn't like he was on one guy. It wasn't like he was just on Welker the whole time. They made him guard different people. And the scary part about what happened in week 2 is that the leading Patriot receiver in that game was Danny Woodhead. That's the scary part. So don't be surprised. Can't you just see it? They're just too good. You can't stop them. You can only hope to contain them. Have to throw that in. You just can't. Look at the power. Look at the offensive weapons on this team. and the better-than-average defense that they have now. Damn good defense. It's just right. It's right there. All you've had to do is look at these teams over the last 5 or 6 weeks. Look at that. Look at the playoff games this week. Do any of those teams scare you? Like I said, Kansas City sucks. Indy played like crap. The Jets played like crap. Indy was crappier. Baltimore didn't play like crap. Baltimore looked good because Kansas City was so bad. I mean, they were bad. I mean, they gave that game away. They had 5 interceptions. His franchise record in turnovers in the playoffs, the Chiefs. Hank Stram must be rolling over in his freaking grave. I mean, that was given to them. That wasn't a game. That was like that. The Chiefs are here at home. They play like dirt. Second half, they were horrible. Michael Vick, Philadelphia, please, even if they'd won. But they didn't. I knew they weren't going to win. He's not ready yet. Green Bay's better. I think Green Bay's the best team in the NFC. I've been saying it. Even though they squeaked into the playoffs, I still think when healthy, they're the best team in the NFC. And I just don't, seriously. I've just looked at all these teams, and I'm not seeing it. They're on a lower and a much lower level than the Patriots. And I'm not going to be one of those guys that tries to come up with stupid little nitpicky things about how the Jets can keep it close, and this could really happen, and Patriots better be careful, because if they don't do this, they better watch out for that. Screw that crap. The only thing anybody has to worry about is Rex Ryan and the Jets. And decide what's your post-game speech to your players who will be crying in their white and green uniforms will be. So have a speech. Here's my advice to Rex Ryan. Have a speech ready for a 10-point loss, a 20-point loss, or a 30-point loss. I don't think it'll be higher than that. That's all I can tell you. Write 3 letters to yourself and get them ready. Do like some of the columnists do all the time. They write the column like a month in advance. You know, one positive, one negative, and then they wait. And that happens a lot. And they just plug it in. What's up, Kev?
We have Harold back on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Oh! He said he had to switch phones on you.
All right, Harold.
I said we'd cut him some slack.
All right, that's no problem. We love Harold. Harold's in North Carolina joining us on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Harold, tell us the truth. The boss walked in, right?
What'd you say?
The boss walked in, right? You're working and the boss walked in.
Oh, no. I'm not at work. I have a couple of questions, though.
Yeah.
These questions might be off the wall.
No, off the wall. Not on this show. Go ahead. Not on this show. Feel free.
Okay. I just want to know the way this weekend panned out with the, you know, 3 of the 4 teams losing at home, except Seattle. I kind of predicted that to happen. I predicted the Eagles to lose at home. I predicted.
I did too.
The Chiefs to lose at home, and I also predicted the Colts. For some reason, I just knew they were going to lose.
Yeah, I reluctantly picked Indy in that game. I thought, like I said, I thought it was going to be an ugly, close game. I picked Indy by only because of Peyton Manning. I picked them by 6 points, or 7 points, 23-17. But I'm not totally shocked. I mean, obviously, the Jets won that game, but that was an ugly, ugly game. Ugly.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised either. I just knew the way, especially the Jets and the Colts game, I just knew how that was. You know, how it was panning out from the first half. You know, they took away the run. They dared him to run. We know that.
Yeah, but the other thing, Harold, in that game, didn't it surprise? I mean, what Reggie Wayne, would he have one catch? I mean, that game plan sucked for Indianapolis. The coach,
yeah, he was actually
horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, I mean, Reggie Wayne was mad.
I know, he should be mad.
On ESPN.
He should be mad.
Man, he was upset. But yeah. My question is, one of my 2 questions is, you know, with this week, with the way – this weekend is probably going to play out with, you know, only 4 teams being left. I'm going to go straight to the Patriots game. Rex Ryan, he already done started up, you know, some heat, you know, with Tom Brady not looking at as much film as Peyton Manning. I just want to know, will the, I'm going to call it bulletin material again, you know, bulletin board material again. I wonder if, how far can they go with this? How far can Rex Ryan go with this?
Well, that's the thing, and you bring up a good point, Harold, and we talked about it with Larry Hardesty, was on earlier. I don't know if you heard Larry. He's a sideline reporter for the Jets on ESPN New York, and that's one of the first questions I brought up to him, and most of the reporters and players around the team, I mean, most reporters who cover the team, not the players love it. The reporters, it's a tired old act. It's catching up with them. And it, God forbid, and I hope it happens, but, I mean, they lose by three touchdowns or more again on Sunday. They're going to be calling for his head. Because, I mean, you can talk the talk all you want. You can say you're 3-1 in the playoffs. It'll be 3-2 after Sunday. But, you know, I mean, so what? I mean, you can talk. You can't keep coming out. And if you saw, did you see what Taylor said the other day on CBS?
Oh, no, I didn't catch that. But I will be on all that later on.
Jason Taylor on Sunday on CBS, he was kind of a guest analyst. And he came
I was glued to the TV on ESPN.
He was on CBS on Sunday during the playoff game.
CBS? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So he basically came out and said, look, he said, quote, I may be paraphrasing here, but this is what he said. He's like, look, he said, our coach writes a lot of checks that sometimes we have a hard time cashing. That's a big, you know, that's basically Jason Taylor saying, you know what, coach, do us all a favor. Shut up. You know, because you're putting extra added pressure. They got enough pressure on themselves trying to win.
Yes, I agree with them.
With a mediocre quarterback.
And, I mean, I also feel, you know, Rex Ryan has said that he's taking it upon himself and stuff like that, but still, he's not helping that team out. No. I understand the media want to make it seem as if, you know, he's trying to take the load, the pressure off of him, and, I mean, off the players and put it on himself like his father did. But I still, I'm not buying it. But I will say my one fear before I get to my last question is, with this bulletin board material, I know this game is, it might be closer. I won a 45-3, but with the way this week is probably going to play out, I just hope that, you know, our young rookies and first year players on this team, I hope that they're prepared, man, because it would stun me. I mean, I'm preparing
I think they're going to be well focused. They are going to be ready. There's a lot of guys that remember last year's playoff game, and that has motivated them a lot for this season. Look, this team has gone through, morphed into a different team after Randy Moss left. They pulled it off like no other team I've ever seen been able to do. And, you know, with that coach and that quarterback and the way this defense is playing right now, they are, like I said, I'm going to keep saying the words, they're a wrecking machine. They are on a different level. What's your next question?
Yes. Oh, yes, they are. Okay, and my last question is dealing with receivers. I saw them a couple of weeks back when they played the Dolphins. I saw Taylor Franks, you know, get some playing time,
yep.
and so has Julian Edelman.
Yep.
But my question is, with how played out and the success that Taylor Franks had when he did have an opportunity to play out there, Julian Edelman, I wonder how that would affect Brandon Tate, because I've really been defending him pretty often here, because there's a lot of people down here that, you know, they just don't think much of Brandon Tate. And nice PFW guys, man. I really think he's an underrated. This is really his first year.
Yeah, it is. Look, he started off fast, then he kind of leveled off. And certainly leveled off a lot. I'm a tad disappointed on his kickoff returns, I must say. I thought he was at a different level. He certainly looked that way the first quarter of the season, but he's still a threat. Look, the guy, like I said, it's his rookie year. I think, technically it's his second year, but really it's his rookie year. I don't think he can be upset. He's basically their fifth receiver, which is fine.
Yep.
And I guarantee you he will contribute along the way. He has contributed, and he will continue to contribute. Because you can't ignore the guy. He's too much. He's too fast. You know.
Oh, yeah.
So I promise you, he will come up with a play or two in the playoffs. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, so my question is, will his time be minimized if Belichick decide, you know, to give Taylor Price and Julian Edelman some time just in case Deion Branch?
The only answer I can give you is, I can't witness practices. We can't watch practices. Whoever performs best in practice is going to get the playing time. That's what Bill does. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do. If you perform well in practice and you're executing, you're going to get playing time. You'll play in the games. And if that means Price or Tate has a better week some days than Edelman, then you're going to see more of those guys at times, and vice versa. So I just think it's how Bill thinks they've reacted in practice. Bill, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Let's see what else we got here. A couple from Mike on Facebook. Sanchez didn't win that game against the Colts either. Why was the timeout called? Also, some of the catches that were made in that drive made him look good, so he did nothing. Patriots 31-14. No, I agree with everything you just said there. I didn't think Sanchez, even though he completed 7 of his last 9 passes, he was horrible in that game. Horrible. Overthrowing receivers left and right by 5, 6, 10 yards in games. And Braylon Edwards, you're right. He's the one who made a great catch. It was not a great throw. It was a great catch by Braylon Edwards. 31-14, I'm okay with that, Mike. He goes on to say, Pete, a couple of things. One, take the Seahawks with the points. Like I said, I'll save my picks coming up in just a little bit. Two, the Pats can lose, you see. If you take Brady to Foxwoods, tie him to a chair, and maybe the Jets will win. Well, I can't say I totally disagree. Barring that, I think it's going to be a real, real difficult afternoon for the Jets. They just are not anywhere near what this New England Patriot team is all about. And their coach, maybe he just doesn't get it. I just don't think he's helping his team at all by yapping the way he's yapping. It's just not helping. Megan says, hey, Pete, listening to your show right now, getting super excited for Sunday. Miss seeing you. Go Pats. All right, Megan. Megan used to be one of my favorite servers, one of my old hangouts. But she's not there anymore, so I won't do them justice by saying where she worked. Everybody knows Megan, though, who knows me. She's a sweetheart. Anyway, check out my Facebook page. You want to see my little sign. And if you got to see it. I think it's kind of cool. And you can post comments about it if you like it, and I'm sure you will. It's actually pretty funny. Again, email me, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. Facebook is open. 508-543-7482 is the number to call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Doug in Reno writes, knowing how well the Patriots have protected the ball this year and how much it has been emphasized by the coaching staff, do you think that it may be more of a key to the Pats' success this year than we give it credit for? Since they went in the streak of no turnovers, they have not lost a game. Could that also be a big factor in the playoffs? I've got that feeling that if we get them, we'll win. If we give them up, we may lose. Excuse me. Well, as you know, the Patriots are superior in the turnover battle this year. They're, plus 28, far and away the best team in the league. Yeah, I mean, playoff games, usually it's a very simple thing, but usually you're right, Doug, it comes down to turnovers. And the team that wins the turnover battle most of the time wins the game. Now, I don't think the Jets can afford to turn the ball over at all. At all. The Patriots might be able to get away with one or two. That's how good. See, I think they are so good they can overcome one or two turnovers. But they only had 10 all year. And one was the last game when Woodhead, got really, smothered from behind. He got that little concussion or whatever he had. So, I just don't see this team. They haven't turned the ball over much at all. 10 times a whole year. That's unheard of. That's another reason why I think everybody else is going to have a very difficult time beating this team. Gene and Athol says, why hasn't anyone called out Marshall Faulk for his ridiculous anti-Pats bias on NFL Network? I'm so sick of this guy. Every now and then, Rod Woodson would roll his eyes, but that's it. Well, Gino, if you remember, I called him out several times this year. Several times. And when I had Vic Carucci on it about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said to him, I couldn't believe it, Marshall Faulk, I was after the Bears game. Marshall Faulk said, you know what, the Patriots are good. And I went, whoa! I mean, that's a big step for Marshall Faulk. But then he reverted right back into his usual stupid self when talking about the Patriots, which is why guys like him should not even be allowed to be analysts, because it's all personal. All of it. It's really unbelievable. You hear the crap that comes out of his mouth. It just makes you turn the channel. It's like Borges talking about the Patriots. Click! Doesn't matter where he is. Click! I don't want to hear. You go through it. It's funny because Comcast the other night had a little montage of Borgesism. All this, I mean, from just this year. I mean, it would be too long to take up the whole decade under the Belichick era because you'd be there for a year. But Borges was so wrong about everything. And once again, what a shock, huh? From the Randy Moss stuff, I mean, it just piling on and everything that came out of his mouth was just The antithesis occurred. Kevin says, how do you find a Facebook page? You go to Facebook and Pete Shepherd. I'll friend you if you want. It's P-E-T-E, Pete. S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. That's an interesting one. How do you find a Facebook page? Interesting. Back to Web Radio, Patriots, Web Radio at Patriots.com. John says, Pete, someone has got to tell that fat, donut-eating slob that fat, stupid, and ugly is no way to go through life. Now, that could apply to many people that I know, but I assume you mean Rex Ryan. But I got you, John. I got you. Oh, my goodness. Well, the comments and questions are just pouring in here. Back to Facebook. I'm like a tennis match over here, if you can see this.
The phones are blowing up, too. It's crazy.
Awesome. Jay on Facebook says, something else Rex targeted yesterday was what he called Brady's antics. His vague claim was that Brady points at everybody after he scores. Brady being Brady, Rex said, I don't like seeing that. Nobody does. No Jet fan likes to see that. And I know he can't wait to do it. He's not going to say anything publicly, but he does it. Hang on, there's more here. I have to hit, click see more. During games, especially on Monday night, the cameras were fixated on Brady, and practically at all times, was Brady caught at any time taunting the Jets by pointing at them? It sounds like Rex is trying to create something out of nothing. You're absolutely right, Jay. You are absolutely correct. The only unsettling thing I saw him do after the game was when Brady was actually shaking hands and embracing numerous Jets, including LT, laughing out loud. Yep. Well, I do think Rex is out of his mind. He should be worried about his coaches tripping players and some of his players, you know, taunting and talking. I mean, it's just absurd to me. George on Facebook says, Pete, you're the best. I'm listening to you from Hungary, which I am hungry right now. You can make me so hyped up and so confident about the Pats. I am so hyped that you'll have another show this week. I love it. I agree 100% with you all the time with everything. I don't know if that's a good thing, but you're the best radio there. You're the best radio there is. Thank you. Keep up the great work. Thank you very much, George. That is very kind and flattering and generous. And I'm going to put you on my Christmas card list for next year and hope things are going well in Hungary. Hope they are. Ed on Facebook says, what do you think Chris Carter will pick to win the game? Think he learned his lesson. Chris Carter is one of those. He has also done a 180. He is all Patriots now, and but again, that could change quickly. And sometimes what happens is these bozos who have the show on Showtime, you know, NFL, what's the show called? It was on HBO, and now it's on what's the show? NFL
Inside the NFL
with Phil Simms and Warren Sapp and Carter, and not so much Phil, but Sapp and Carter have a tendency to go on that show and say something, and then by Sunday. Say, and I'm not talking about injuries affecting the game. And then they just change their attitude completely. You know, talk about riding the fence. But those two are notorious for doing that. So I'm not, you know, Chris Carter and Warren Sapp, I don't have a lot of respect for what they've said over the years about the Patriots anyway. They've been so wrong, especially Sapp. And I mean, and I'm telling you, you had to be there. Was it Jacksonville? I get Houston, I forget where the hell we were. I can't remember. But I just remember Teddy Bruschi wanting to jump off the podium and pummel Warren Sapp. Now, granted, it looked like a mismatch, but Warren Sapp was such an obnoxious jerk on Radio Row. Just a big, fat, obnoxious jerk. Which there were a lot in Radio Row during the Super Bowl week, by the way. I mean, they're from all over the place. I mean, it is scary. You talk about one big group of losers, and I put myself in that. I mean, some of the stuff is just hysterical, but fun. I mean, it is an incredible experience, I must say. And my one bad Super Bowl memory, but I'll never forget it. You talk about me getting mad. I remember my, I won't say who, but somebody that I worked with who was producing the show, the post-game show that I did, and Freddie and I were the only ones in the convention center doing the show. Until whatever it was, 3 o'clock in the morning after the event happened with that team from New York, and the David Tyree catch and the miracle, all that crap. And I was already there. I was the first one there. Freddie came in, and then our producer came in and picked up a chair and flung it across the entire convention. I mean, it's a huge place. You can't, but it was quite funny. I thought he was going to take out two TVs. John says, forgot to tell you the Pete Shepherd Show rocks. I've been laughing so hard the past couple weeks. Love your show, by the way. It's Mitch. Oh, okay, Mitch. Well, it says John. Mitch, thank you, man. Sorry for my voice today. Hopefully it'll be better on Thursday. What we got here? Let me see.
Get the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Oh, we got the Ace Ticket Hotline?
That little
poster. Oh, that's right. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Doc is in Seattle joining me here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Doc!
Hey, Pete, how are you?
How are things in Seahawk country?
Well, as I said last week, you know, we talked about who's going to win what, and I said Seattle.
Yeah, you were right.
Well, I didn't I didn't give him a chance. The only, other than, you know, the Michael Hawley, who basically, I think, chose him to look like, and admittedly so, to look like a genius.
Well, Keyshawn chose him, too. Keyshawn chose him, and our own Kevin, and the others in the cross, Kevin, our producer right here, chose Seattle.
Kevin, that's right. But did he choose it for any, like, logical reasons?
Yes, he did.
All
just
right.
To piss off the
the home field advantage and Hasselbeck returning.
And to totally piss off the Patriots Football Weekly guys.
Yeah, well, you know, again, get them to pick the Jets to win. Okay, I'm telling you. You know, if I turn them on my little podcast, I'm going to throw weights in the weight room, which won't be good because it's only 5 pounds I can lift. If they start doing that, it'll be a blowout. It'll be 40-3. You know.
No, I don't think those guys won't say that. Not like I said. I think it's going to be a double digit win for the Patriots. I'm not saying they're going to win 42-3.
Although
again.
Perillo did predict like 38-10 today.
Well, it might. I mean, I think he's onto something. I think it's going to be something like that. Maybe not 28 points, but I think I'll give you my picks at the end of the day. But I think it's going to be over three touchdowns. I think it's going to be around three touchdowns. I just don't see how this Jet team can compete. Not after, and it'd be one thing if I saw them really come out and look crisp and sharp against Indianapolis, a banged up Indianapolis team, but they didn't. They didn't look good.
They looked horrible.
And Indy looked worse.
It was a great day of football to let you know, as you know.
Yes,
you know
of course
that.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. But I and my Pittsburgh friend, we were kind of watching the beginning of the game, the Seattle game, sort of in amusement.
Yeah,
and say, hey, let's get to the bar during halftime.
Yep.
The fans were hysterical because they were all stunned and still thought they were going to lose it to the end. And, you know, they could have. But the Indy Pittsburgh, we both looked at each other, and you know, because he was rooting for the Jets so he wouldn't have to face Indy.
Yep.
He's sitting there going, wait a second, does this mean I'm going to have to face Baltimore?
That's right.
I want to face Indy.
I know they do.
And I want to face the Jets now.
Yeah.
You know? So, yep. Look, the fans are all crying because they lost the game they shouldn't have lost, that mm-hmm. you know, they don't want to lose to the Jets. And next week, if we pummel the Jets, they're going to be crying about, we've never beaten the Steelers in Foxborough during a playoff game.
That's right.
Baltimore. So, whatever. We'll enjoy it for this week.
Yeah, enjoy it this week. And then no matter what happens, whether they play Pittsburgh or Baltimore, you know, a week from Sunday, it'll be a lot of fun. Either way, it's going to be it'll be a lot of fun. And I don't see any of those teams beating the Patriots either. I just don't see it. And
I don't think so either. Right? I mean, I think that the one we most worry
about. They'll pose a bigger challenge.
Is...
They'll pose a bigger challenge, but they're not going to beat. They're not going to win here.
Yeah.
All right, Doc. Thanks a lot.
I'll let you go.
All right,
enjoy.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Email me webradio@patriots.com. We have to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll have my picks. Hopefully, find my voice again. Where the hell's my voice? Back in a few.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Now's your chance. Give Pete a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Back here, final 20 minutes or so here at the Pete Shepherd Show. Trying to hang in again. I apologize for my voice today with the laryngitis and everything. I will have my picks coming up in just a little bit again. 2-2 last week. I'll go over them after again. And I'm going to pick the scores as well. I came pretty close to the score. My two wins, I came pretty close, almost getting the score right on. But no one except for Kevin in the other room and Keyshawn Johnson got the Seattle game right. And that was really a debacle. I mean, that was just pathetic how New Orleans looked. Really, really surprising what happened in that game. And certainly the Indy Jet game, that was almost a flip of a coin. And, you know, I picked Indy only because they're home and had Peyton Manning. And if they had any kind of a coach down the stretch,
Colts
that would have
suck.
Won that game. They did. Sean on Facebook says, Chris Carter is all about Randy Moss. Yes, he is, and I brought that up many times. That's his bias. He feels pride as his mentor. When he willingly traded Moss, Carter was visibly upset. Now he gets it as Randy does. I hate when the screen fades to black when it's on battery. When the Vikings let Moss go, everyone knew that stirring the pot in New England was the worst mistake Randy could make. Yeah, I think he probably does realize that. But he was so over the top, and there's so many people locally and nationally when that happened. Just once again, it amazes me because they covered the man for over a decade since he's been here. Did anybody really think that a team led by Tom Brady and Bill Belichick was all of a sudden going to fall apart, or they didn't have, you know, that they made the decision willy-nilly, just, you know, just at the drop of a hat because of one particular incident? Sometimes it amazes me. I don't know where some of these reporters and their thinking comes from. I don't get it. You know, it's always about this overreaction so many times. Instead of looking at the big picture or waiting to see how a particular situation plays out, they just freak out. Some of these reporters, like little children. Ah, Brady bus is gone. Ah! I probably shouldn't do that for my own voice. But exactly. How are they going to win? I mean, and all they did was turn into the best team in football. And a team many believe is a better team than what they had in 2007. And offensively, they're pretty damn close, which is what I said at week one. And I said, all I said was, well, let's see how this plays out, the whole thing, when it's all said and done. I never thought the defense would look as good as it does now. I never thought, because you didn't know. But I certainly wasn't one right off the bat to go ripping McCourty like so many other people did, because they didn't get this guy, they didn't get that guy. You know, I knew Gronkowski, if he was healthy, and I knew Hernandez would help. I mean, he was a beast at Florida. I loved him. Gronkowski, I mean, had all the tools, as long as his big thing was, if he stays healthy, I can remember saying it early on the season, his kid's going to be a weapon. And they got it, man. Algie Crumpler, like I said, they're just too many. There's just too many. There's too many weapons, and at all different positions. That's what's remarkable. That's what's unbelievable. So, I mean, you want to stop the tight end, you're going to deal with the wide receivers. You want to stop then, you're going to deal with Woodhead and Jarvis Green running the ball and catching the ball. You know, it is an endless, a plethora of outstanding offensive talent that the Patriots have put together. And can't say enough about the defense the last 8 weeks of the season. Can't say enough how well they played. Back to web radio emails at patriots.com. Hey, Pete, what Facebook page are you reading off? I don't think the Jets have a chance either, but I hate to say it, we said that about the Giants a couple years ago. Still getting over that. Needless to say, Rex Ryan is a windbag that likes to hear himself talk. Well, here's the difference, Kenji. I'm reading from my Facebook page, my wall, because if you want to post a Facebook page, go to Pete Shepard. I'll friend you, and you can post something to my wall. All right? People forget all the circumstances in that Giant game, okay? And I'm taking nothing away from the Giants because they played their guts out. It took like four miracle things to happen, and it all went their way. We missed out on three interceptions, and it took the greatest clutch non-touchdown pass of all time, miracle catch, for a guy to catch the ball in his helmet and hit the ground and not lose the ball. David Tyree. People still forget the Patriots were winning that game with a minute to go. All right, had the lead. They only gave up 17 points in that game, which was where the average for the year was 17.4. So, it was a totally different set of circumstances. Totally different set of circumstances. The Jets of 2010/11 are not the Tom Coughlin-coached Giants of 2007. And certainly, one thing you could see in the Giants that you will not see with the Jets, and I've mentioned this game before, you go back in 07, and remember the Giants are at Tampa Bay. I know I brought this up before, but I'll do it again anyway just to refresh. You go back and watch the first half of that game. They played that playoff game last year, right around, 2007, in Tampa Bay. And I think their first six possessions, they didn't get a first down. And they were losing at halftime, I believe. And then whatever Coughlin said to them in that halftime, they came out and just steamrolled everybody in the NFC after that. Some hard-fought games, but, you know, they were six. No one thought they had a chance. Nobody. And the way they looked against Tampa Bay in the first half, but they did. They came out. Came out of it. I do not like anything much. I don't really like much of anything I saw with that Jet team against Indianapolis. There wasn't a lot of pluses there. It just wasn't. They didn't do a lot of good things. They were just lucky Indy was so bad. and it was so horribly coached in the second half. It wasn't like the Jets, like, you know, did some incredible, wasn't some incredible coaching, some incredible trick play calling, some incredible feats of human, you know, strength and great guts and glory. And the Jets did that. Please. I mean, that game sucked, to be honest with you. Horrible game to watch. It's fun if you're a Patriot fan because, like I said, you're kind of like in a win-win situation. The Jets win, they come here, they're going to get killed, or the Jets lose and they're out of playoffs. So either way, you win. Back to web radio at patriots.com, the email. Doug in Reno writes, hey guys, I have a scenario for you to ponder. I know this is putting the cart before the horse, but this is web radio, so what the hell does it matter? Of course not. Do what you want. Picture this. Because if it happens, we may be looking at history. If the Pats do get to the Super Bowl and win it, with Tom Brady being announced as the league MVP at the Super Bowl, first time MVP announcement at the game, could you say that it will throw him into the discussion of the best year a quarterback has ever had, at least on the day of the Super Bowl with the biggest audience ever? Could the spotlight shine any brighter? If that is the case, he may supplant everyone in that discussion of the best quarterback ever, if not the best. He will be the winningest quarterback ever before it's all said and done. You can't leave Belichick out of the discussion for the best coach either. No, I mean, I think that it's going to be Bill Belichick. It's going to be Vince Lombardi, Bill Belichick. When everything is all said and done, as far as the two greatest coaches ever, I think you're going to hear Lombardi first, and you always will. And Bill will be the first one to agree with that. And you're going to hear Bill's name second, which I'm sure he'll be honored just to be even mentioned in the same breath because he has so much respect for the game. Eventually, that's going to be the case. Brady hopefully will have four Super Bowls by this, tie in Montana. And when you think about that, he could have had two more. It's kind of scary. But what is really scary is what this team has left, how young they are, the draft picks. I mean, are you kidding me? It is going to be unbelievable around here for the next decade. And hopefully the coach and the quarterback will be here for all 10 years. WebRadioPatriots.com, WebRadioPatriots.com. Tell you what, it's almost that. It's going to be that time. And my voice is really fading now, and I've done all I can. So now what we're going to do, the moment you've all been waiting for, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for Pete's Picks on Patriots.com. Oh, yeah, we're going old school again. Going old school, back to the old CBS theme. Irv Cross and Phyllis George. Jimmy the Greek Snyder. Dun, 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 dun. All right, let's recap last week. This won't take very long. And my voice is really fading, so you're going to have to apologize. Bear with me here. So last week I had New Orleans winning 34-20. Obviously, that didn't work out. Except for Kevin. Didn't work out for anybody else. I had the Colts winning 23-16. Close on the score. But that didn't work out either. And I come back strong on Sunday. Baltimore, I had 34-17. I gave the Chiefs way too much credit. Ended up being 30-7. And Green Bay almost nailed it. Green Bay had Green Bay 20-13. It was very close. What was it, 21-16? Something like that. So 2-2, and pretty good with the scores. I'm going 4-0 this weekend, though. These are my four playoff locks of the year. Right here. The divisional playoff games. And the National Football League. My picks. The pick, score, reason. First game. Pittsburgh is home to Baltimore. This should be one hell of a game. These teams hate each other. It's usually fairly low scoring. I know the line's at 37 for the point total. Seems about right. I know the Steelers are at home, but we know they can lose at home. They've lost playoff games at home. And they've certainly lost at home to Baltimore. And they're going to lose to them again. I'm picking the Ravens. I like the Ravens, 19-17. How about that, Steeler Nation? Take that. I like what I'm seeing in Baltimore. I like what I've seen the last few weeks a lot more than what I saw the Steelers, mainly because you lost to the Jets. I have no faith in the Steeler team that loses to the Jets. How can you? It's really simple. You lost to the Jets at home. How? But you did. I'm picking Baltimore. Yeah. Call me crazy. I said it. Ravens, 1917. Game number two. I'm losing my mind. I swear, I haven't even tried coffee today, just water. Atlanta, the Falcons are home. 2.5-point favorite against Green Bay. Well, you all know I'm picking Green Bay to go to the Super Bowl. So, Matt Ryan, it's been a nice ride, baby, but it's about to end. Green Bay should have won there a few weeks ago. They had a couple bad turnovers that I don't see happening again. I'm going with the Packers, 27. Atlanta, 21. There's your score. I think Green Bay is the best team in the NFC overall. Just think that. I've thought that the last several weeks. All I was hoping for was they'd make the playoffs, and they did. Right, the little stretch there when Aaron Rodgers is out, but they're playing pretty well. I like the Packers, 27-21 to win in Atlanta. Now we go to Sunday's game. It's Chicago, the new Soldier Field. The Bears are 10-point favorites over the Seahawks. Now, didn't Seattle beat the Bears this year, right? Seattle beat the Bears this year. In Seattle, I think, right? In Seattle. Because Seattle can't win on the road.
Yeah, you've already called your Battle of the Birds.
Yeah. Bears are favored by 10. But I don't know. I can't bring myself to do it. I'm going to pick the Seahawks to cover, but the Bears to win. Because Jay Cutler should scare anybody as a 10-point favorite. It wouldn't shock me. It would not shock me somehow if Seattle pulled this off. I think it's highly unlikely. But it's Jay Cutler at quarterback, which means that you can lose at any time. He can self-destruct at any time. The Bears can lose, say it with me, at any time. This is an overrated, overhyped Bears team. But they are at home. Seahawks in trouble winning on the road, but 10 points is too many. I'm sorry for Jay Cutler. If Matt Hasselbeck shows up again, this game could get fairly interesting. But I like the Bears by 6, 23-17, and I think will be a competitive game out in the Windy City. Jay Cutler, quarterback, anything is possible. Anything is possible. Because he stinks. He is so overrated. I wouldn't say he stinks. He's just overrated. And finally, the Patriots. 9-point favorites at home against the New York trash-talking fat bastard Jets. As I've explained to you, and I will explain again on Thursday, they are on a different level. They're up here. Everyone else is down there. Patriots here. Them there. That's just the way it is. Tough. If you don't like it, tough. I'm not asking you to like it, but you have to accept it. Because after watching all those playoff games this week, you know what the best team in the NFL is that's right here in Foxborough. The Jets are going to come in, trash talking, this, that, blah, 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 blah. And you know what it says in the end right here? Here's a Pete Shepard crystal ball. Patriots 34, the Jets 13. They lose by 21 points. The New York Jets lose 34-13 to your New England Patriots. So there it is. There it is. I'll go over the picks again on Thursday. But there it is. Don't see any way around it, folks. I tried. I've agonized over trying to come up with a way the Jets can stay in this game, and I just don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see a team getting better. I see a team that got a little bit worse. I didn't play well in a playoff game and got lucky because Indy played crappier. And the Jets are going to come in here all high and mighty and talk about funneling this and doing that and blah, blah, blah. It ain't going to work. They don't have the talent to keep up with this team. They're going to get their butts whipped again. 34-13 Patriots. All right, that's going to do it for me today. I can barely talk. I want to thank my guest again, Larry Hardesty from the Sideline Reporter for the Jets Radio Network at 10:50 a.m. ESPN New York. Thank you. Kevin, thanks a lot for putting up with this and putting the show together. Great job.
No problem.
I'll be with you again on Thursday with, I hope, a much stronger voice.
Amen to that.
2 to 4 p.m. Join me. Until then, thanks everyone for listening. This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Have a great and safe Tuesday. Bye-bye.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.